Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Elam Ehad Esnan, four lines down from the top. Just to quickly review the last thing that we said, we're looking for a source for Rav Mesharshia, who holds that instead of paskining halacha like the klolim, we're going to paskin based on svara. And we tried to bring a proof to this shita from the issue in a Mishnah later on about a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in a case where we require a certain number of houses that are not incorporated into the Eruv. And we'll go through quickly the two scenarios, the Reish and the Seifa of the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is on Daf Nun Tes. In the Reisha, we spoke about an ear shel yochid. It means it didn't have shishim ribui, and they set up an Eruv, and now it got expanded. Now, in this case, we can just repeat or accept, shall we say, the original Eruv. Now, 2 points. Number one, how could there be an Eruv on a Rishus HaRabim? There's no such thing. But the answer is that even though now it has Shishim Ribui, it doesn't have any of the other conditions of Rishus HaRabim. For example, it doesn't have Tezayin Amma in the width of the thoroughfare. Now, point number two is, why is it in this case, where it started as an ir shel yachid, you don't require setting up a group of people that are outside the Eruv? You just simply recreate the original Eruv. And the answer is because people got used to the idea that this city is a city of a yachid. They didn't, in their minds, they didn't make the switch, the turnover, that now the population has expanded and we have Shishim Ribui. So there's no reason that they'll confuse this with a Rishus HaRabim. But in the Seifa, where we started with a city of Rabim, and in such a case, we don't want to have an Eruv because we're afraid that people might not know about the Eruv, and they'll confuse this city with a Rishus HaRabim, because it has Shishim Ribui, and they'll begin to conclude that you're allowed to be Metaltel in Rishus HaRabim. So they will be unaware of the Eruv. Now, the city became a city of a Yochid. There was never that Gzera, that Iser, to be Ma'arev, the city, to set up an Eruv around the entire city, in the case of an ir shel yochid. But the only problem is that this city used to be an ir shel rabim. So if you're going to now activate the heter of setting up an eruv for the city in this ir shel yochid, the people might confuse it with an ir shel rabim, which didn't have a mechitza, didn't have an eruv, excuse me. So we want to make sure people know that there's an eruv. And the Heker Ledovar is by setting up residences, leaving out certain residences outside the Eruv. And here we have Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. How many different inhabitants do we have to have that are outside the Eruv? And Rabbi Yehuda says you need as many as 50. And Rabbi Shimon says you can suffice with 3 Chatzeros of 2 different batim, which is a much smaller area. And Rami and Rav Chama Bar Guria Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon, against Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara thinks that since this violates the klal, that halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, we now have a proof for Rav Mesharshia's rejection of these klolim in favor of svara. But the Gemara says that's not a valid proof, because it could be that in a case where there was some explicit mesorah, so to speak, that was formulated by the Rabbanim, that we paskin halacha like a certain opinion. So that's called hecha de itmar, itmar hecha de lo itmar, lo itmar. And just like we said earlier on Daf Mem Vav, that in a situation where the official formula was explicitly that we paskin like a certain Tana, only in those cases we're going to be knowing like that Talocha Mefureshes, even if that contradicts the Kloli Apsak. But in a case where Lo Itmar, there was no official Psak Halacha like any one of the Tzadim, then we go back to the Klola. So in this case, we're going to assume that it's Hechid Itmar Itmar, that we have a Mesorah to Paskin like Rav Shimon in this Machlokas. But that doesn't mean that Rav Misharshi is correct for assuming that we can completely undermine the klolim in a case of Lo Itmar, where we don't have any halacha mefureshes or any sort of a tradition, then Eino Chinami, we go back to the klolim. That would be the argument against Rav Misharshi, and that could be reconciled with this psak of Rabbi Shimon, which is formulated here by Rav Chama, that this is a case of Itmar. Okay, now we're up to Elamei Ha Disnan, and we're going to learn a Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav, and hopefully that'll serve as a source for our Misharshia. Haminiach, so we're talking about a person that left Espeso, he left his house. Okay. Or, for example, let's say he left his chotzer. And holach lishpos bi'ir acheres. And now he's spending Shabbos in another city. And he joins them. He did not join them. He should have joined them, but he did not join them in an Eruv Chatzeros with the Bnei Achotzer before he left his house. And now he finds himself in another town and he's not part of the Eruv Chatzeros. Is Echad Nochri V'Echad Yisrael Oser. Now this resident, so to speak, who's temporary in the chotzer because he came just for Shabbos, so he generates an isur as far as the other members of the chotzer. They won't be able to carry from their house to the chotzer because why is he oser on the Bnei Chotzer l'taltim abatim l'chotzer? Because he has reshus in that chotzer and he wasn't part of the Eruv. So he's an alien who is now going to undermine the efficacy of the Eruv. Now, let's assume there are two possible scenarios here. One scenario is that he left his house and he is a guest in another town where he did not make an Eruv. There's another possibility here, which I think is more compelling, and that is he left his house without making an Eruv in his house, meaning amongst those batim that share a chotzer in his original house, his point of embarkment. And the reason I think that pshat makes a little bit more sense is because the language here is may achar sheyesh lo rishus biyotzochotzer velo irev imohem. So I'm not sure what it means yesh lo rishus li arev imohem. It sounds to me like yesh lo rishus biyotzochotzer because he's a permanent resident in that chotz. So that would mean that before he left his house for Shabbos, he did not make an Erev Chatzeres. And Afal Pisha Eino Shoa Be'ir B'Shabbos, he's not local. So on the one hand, he has a Rishus in that Chotzer, but on the other hand, he's not local for Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's a Mokom Dira. And even below Bailim, it has the status of a Dira. And that's Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on the other hand, Eino Oser. He does not generate an Iser on the Bnei Chotzer to carry from their Chotzer, each one respectively into, from the Bais, each one respectively into the Chotzer. And the reason for that is because he's not there for Shabbos. He packed out for Shabbos. And that's called a Dira below Bailim. And now we're holding that a Dira below Bailim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Ein Shmei Dira. Now Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nochri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser. The guy generates an Isa on the Bnei HaChotzer, if he lives in one of the batim around that Chotzer, because he could come back during the course of Shabbos to back to his city, back home. You know, he has free travel. He's not the Shomer Shabbos, he's a guy. Therefore, he's constantly connected back to his house. He's, if you pardon the phrase, homeward bound. And therefore, it's as if he's still living in that house, even though he's not there for Shabbos. But Yisrael, who packs out and he goes to another city, Eino osim mishum she'ein derech Yisrael lova b'Shabbos. We don't assume that the Yisrael in the middle of Shabbos is going to come back from where he is now as a guest back to his hometown. So he is Mesiach Das Mi Beso. And it's a Dira She'en La Bailim. And a Dira She'en La Bailim is Lav Shmei Dira. So in a certain sense, Rabbi Yossi is to some extent in agreement with Rabbi Yehuda that Dira Below Bailim is Ein Shmei Dira, but whereas Rabbi Yehuda would apply this even to a Nochri, and he's going to say Ein Shmei Dira, and therefore he's not an Oser, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that in the case of a Nochri, Dira below Bailim, Shmei Dira, and he is an Oser, because it's Daito, you know, he has a Das on his original city. Eino Mesiach Das Mi Beso. Now, after Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, we have Rabbi Shimon Omer. Afilu Hiniach Es Beso V'Holach Lishbos Eitzel Bito B'Yosa Ha'ir. Even if he left his house on Erev Shabbos, and he's going to spend Shabbos as a guest in the house of his daughter, who lives in that same city, which would now seem to be that he's really close to home, is Eino Oser B'nei HaChotzer, even though he might come back to his house on Shabbos, he's local, and the answer is, Kari Siach Es Daito Mi Lodur V'Beiso Bosa Shabbos. He packs out with his knapsack and he's spending Shabbos with his daughter. That's called Hesech Hadas. Oh, V'yomar Abchama Bar Gurya, Omar Rav, Halacha Kirabi Shimon. Now watch this. We have Rabbi Yossi, who would, according to the Klolim, he would trump Rabbi Yehuda, and how much more so would he trump Rabbi Shimon? And even Rabbi Yehuda himself would trump Rabbi Shimon, and yet Rav Chama is passing like Rav Shimon. which seems to indicate that Rav Misharshi is correct, that we are machriya aloch not according to klolim, but rather according to compelling logic, compelling svara. So the Gemara now is going to explain how this proves that we dropped a klolim of Rav Yochanan. Man polag alei, who's arguing against Rav Shimon? Rav Yehuda. Of course, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only if he goes to another city, then he's not Oser, that's called Heskadas, but if he's local in his own city, like the case of Rabbi Shimon, where he says he's here in town with his daughter, then in that case, there's no Heskadas, and he's Oser B'nei HaChotzer. So how could Rav here paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Va'amrit, after all, one of the klolim is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Aloch Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, again the old answer, and at one point or another you wonder why the Gemara has to keep asking or trying to bring these rais just to shlug it up with the same shlug up. The Gemara says, my kusha dilma hochenami, here too, like we said earlier, hechad itmar itmar, we have an explicit halacha tradition to accept the opinion of this particular Tana, in this case Rabbi Shimon, but heich de lo itmar, lo itmar, if we don't have a special halacha that's paskin, then we go back to the klolim. Ella meha. So now we have to quote for another source from Misharshia, a Mishnah, Disnan, Memtesim, and Beis. We're talking about a person who's on the road on Erev Shabbos, and he doesn't have bread with him. He doesn't have the ability to set up bread in a special place to be Kona Shvisa. In such a case, the halacha permits him to be Kona Shvisa by walking around to that place, right? Going to that place where he wants to be Shoves. And the Mishnah says, Zeu Sha'amru, this is what the Chacham say, Ha'ani is permitted Ma'ore Baragla, to set up an Erev with his feet without even a loaf of bread. He's Babaderech, he doesn't have pas. Again, even if he's not poor in terms of his money in the bank, his assets, but nevertheless he's considered at this point like an Ani. And for the sake of an Ani, the Rabbana would make Hil, and they allowed him to set up an Erev through the mechanism of Hiluch Raglov, without a pas. Now here we have a machlokes tanoim. What's the din of a person who's in his house? Is he considered like an ashir? Okay, now we have Rabbi Meir, but so we're going to have an ani that can make an error with his feet. And Rabbi Meir says, Anu ein lanu ella ani. A traveler with no bread. Is an ani. Ein lanu ella ani. In other words, Rabbi Meir says this possibility of being ma'ari baraglov only applies to a person who's mahalich b'derech, he doesn't have a pass, and he has the status of an ani. But someone who's sitting in his house, and he has a pass, he's an ashir, and he doesn't have the possibility to avail himself of the method of hiluch baraglov to be kona shvisa. He has no choice but hanochas ha-pass. Rabbi Yehuda omer, echad ani v'echad ashir. Even an Asher is given permission to be Kona Shvisa Biraglov, Mahalich Biraglov, without Hanochas HaPas. Aye, what about the principle, Lo Omru Ma'arvim Bipas of Erev Bipas, El Lahokil Al Asher Shlo Yetze V'Arev Biraglov? That he doesn't have to be Torech himself, they have like a Kula for him, to go to a place where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, but rather he can send a shliach to be meniach pas on his behalf and to be konish visa. So you see here from Rabbi Yehuda that ikar erev beraglov, that really fundamentally erev should be beraglov, that yelech adam beraglov mokum shbo chavetz likno shvisa. Therefore, everybody, whether he's an oni or an oshi, can avail himself of what's called the ikar eruv beregel. But they had a kula with, like, so to speak, a substitute fallback position that the oshir could send the shliach with a pass if the oshir doesn't want to be matriach himself. Umasnile Rav Chiya bar Ashi l'Chiya bar Rav. So Rav Chiya taught Rav Chiya this Mishnah, Kamei de Rav, in the presence of Rav. And he taught him the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Echad Ani Vechad Oshir Rashaim Liknos Shvisa Baraglam Below Anochas Pas. Miomale Rav. Rav says to Rav Chiya, Sayim Barnami Halacha Krav Yehuda. You should add to this Mishnah that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which, as we said before, is Ikar Eruv Biraglov, Behiluch Raglov. So the Gemara asks, Tarti Lomali, why does he have to repeat himself twice that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda v'ha'amrit amongst the various klolim that we formulated in terms of psak halacha? One of them is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he have to tell me in this case halacha Rabbi Yehuda? It's just another application of the general klal. And the answer is that we are not convinced that the halacha is always like these klolim. And the other possibility is to use svara. And therefore Rav feels compelled to tell us that with regard to this Mishnah, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara rejects this as well. My kusha, there's no question here on Rabbi Yochanan who says that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. Dilma Rav Lesley Lahani Kloli. It's very possible that although Rabbi Yochanan has these klolim, but Rav didn't have these klolim. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Chinami, we would certainly paskin in this case like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. We wouldn't need to say, formulate halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. It's understood. Now, when we postulate now that Rav doesn't have these klolim and Rabbi Yochanan does, and the Gemara tells us in Beitza another klal, and that is in Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we're back to the klolim. Now the Gemara wants to pull a fast one and prove that from Rabbi Yochanan's own words we can prove that he doesn't accept these klal. Elamei hadisnan. And now we're in a Mishnah in Yevamos Mem Aleph. Hayevama. So we're talking about a woman whose husband died without children. She needs Yibum HaChalitza because the husband left a live brother. Lo tachlots v'otisyabim at shiyu lo shlosha chadoshim. She has to wait 3 months after the death of her husband. And the reason for that is that we have to consider the possibility she might be pregnant, and therefore she doesn't fall for Yibum. And if she doesn't fall for Yibum, if her brother-in-law would marry her, that's called Eishes Ich Shelo B'Makom Yibum, and that's an Issur Karis. So clearly, we have to wait these 3 months. V'chein Shar Kol HaNoshim, any woman, forget about a Yevama, let's say a woman got divorced, or a woman was widowed, her husband died, and she doesn't need Yibum HaChalitza, but lo yinasu v'lo yisarsu li'acher ad shiyu lehem shlosha chadoshim mizman misa balo gerishim. She must wait 3 months to be absolutely sure that she's not pregnant, and that is so that we can determine the yichus of a child. Is this child related to the father that died? or to the new husband. Echad besulos v'echad beulos. Echad amonos, echad grushos, echad asuros, arusos, echad nesuros. So it doesn't matter whether she was nisalmala, she became a widow from her first husband, or nisgarsha, she was divorced from her first husband. It doesn't matter if she was a nesua from her first husband, or an arusa from her first husband. It doesn't even matter if she's still a besula. And in all these cases, she needs to wait 3 months before she gets married or she has erusin to someone else. This is the Shita of the Tanakhama. Okay then, so we need what we call Havchana. We have to make sure, well, in the case of Yibum, obviously we have to make sure that there's no, that there is a Zika, and there's no Zera left from the first husband. But in all the other cases that she has to wait 3 months is because we're not sure if Lu Yitzu, she gives birth with it, by if she gets married within 3 months and then she gives birth, we're not sure if that baby is a 9 month baby old, a 9 month baby to her previous husband or a 7 month baby to her second husband. We don't know the yichus of the child. And that could create all sorts of mechsholos, like the Gemara says in Yevamos. You know, somebody might think, this is my son, and really he's the son of the previous husband. And then if he thinks that this is his son, then it could be his sister from his father will marry him. I mean, all sorts of issues over here. So we need a hamtana, we need to wait 3 months for havchana. And then we'll know for sure that she, if she gives birth, she was impregnated by her second husband. He's the father of this child. Now, even though you might logically argue that this entire requirement of havchana only applies to a woman who's nesua to her previous husband, now she wants to get married again, but the Tanakhama extends the enactment, or shall we say the gzera, to even a woman who is only mu'ureses to her previous husband. And even she should not have erusin within the 3 month period. And we're going to make gzera from arusa otu nesua. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nesuos yis arsu. In other words, mimonafshach, there's no problem if it's only erusin, right? So she can have erusin immediately. And, you know, she's not going to be pregnant until many months down the line when they can consummate the marriage with Nisuin. However, Nisuin would not be permitted until after 3 months. That's clear, because that's a case of Havchana where we need to be to be mavchin, right? She needs hamtana to be mavchin bein zera lezera. Now, arusos, what about the case of a woman who never consummated her marriage to her first husband? She was only an arusa, then she became a divorcee or a widow. Is inasu? She's even allowed to have full-fledged nisuin immediately following the death of her husband, or his giving her a get, because we don't assume that she could have gotten pregnant from her first husband. She was only an arusa, and they never consummated with nesuin. Chutz me arusa shebi Yehuda. The only exception is Yehuda, because during the erusin period in Yehuda, the minhag was that they would put the arus and the arusa alone together, and they may have consummated their marriage with a intimate act, and that's called libo shel orus gaspa. You know, he's very, how should I say, aroused and very interested in an intimate act. He's rugilba, because they had a lot of private time together during the erusin in Yehuda, so they may have possibly consummated the marriage. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Anoshim Yisarsu. In other words, even the Suos could have Erusin, and that we already saw in Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't have to wait a 3-month period after the termination of her marriage of an Erusin marriage. No, I'm sorry. What I meant to say was that we don't have to wait the 3 months to allow a woman, even if she was a full-fledged nesuah to her first husband, to have erusin with the second husband, and we're not going to make gzeira on erusin mishum nesuin. Chutz min almana mipnei ha'ibul. If a woman lost her husband, then for a whole different reason, she's not allowed to have erusin during this period of time, the 3-month period of time since the death of her husband, because of ibul, because she's obligated to be in a state of avelus for her husband. And that's a sugya nivamis. I mean, we don't know of an ibul of 3 months, but that's the shita Rabbi Yossi in the case of a woman who lost her husband. But if, on the other hand, her husband divorced her, then she's allowed to have erusin immediately after she received her get. And it would seem that Rabbi Yossi is arguing against the Tanakama, and also against Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama generates an isur both for Nesuos Lisares and Arusos Linose. That's an all-encompassing requirement of Havchana, according to Tanakh. Rabbi Yehuda's matir in those cases of an Nesuolis Ares or an Arusali Nase, but Rabbi Yossi holds that Nesuos Mutaris Lis Ares, and certainly Arusos, but Arusos Asuros Lihinase. And the reason that Rabbi Yossi is matir for Nesuos Lis'ares, and yet he asses Arusos Linos, it would seem to be the same logic in both cases. And the Gaon Yaakov, which is a super commentary we've quoted numerous times here on Masech Erevin, says that Rabbi Yossi holds that there's no chashash to be mater in a sua lis'ares, because we'll see with our own eyes that there's only erusin and not nesuin. But to be mater an arusa li'nose, there's always a chash that she's not really an arusa from the first husband, the previous husband, but she might be in a sua. And therefore, we're going to be mater an asua li'nose. Vamrinon. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, lo ol lebe midrasha. The Gemara tells Yevavas that Rabbi Lazar did not go up to the Beis Medrash, but Ashkre he met Rabbi Asi, dehavi koyim, he was standing. And Omer leis, so Rabbi Lazar turns to Rabbi Asi, and he says, my Omer vebe midrasha. What do they say in the Beis HaMedrash? Omale Rav Asi said, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lachi Rav Yossi, who's matir the case of a grusha, Lis'ares Miyad, to get have Erison immediately after her gerish. Now the Gemara wants to clarify from the fact that Rav Yochanan paskind here, Halach Rav Yossi Michlal, Diyachidah Poligalei, that the Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and he holds that a Nesua is not allowed to get not allowed to have Erusin, even though Rabbi Yossi says she can have Erusin immediately. And it must be that, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, this Tanakama is a Das Yochid. Usually we assume Tanakama is associated with the Chachamim, but here we're going to assume it's one individual, because if it was Das Rabim, then Rabbi Yochanan would not paskin like Rabbi Yossi against the Rabim. So the Gemara clarifies this and says, in, this is true, that the Tanakam is a Das Yoch, and I'll prove it to you from a Braisa. A Tanya, Harei Shahoisa, in a case where a woman was Nesua, and this Arul and this Garasha, and in the months before the Misa, before he died, or before he divorced her, Haisa Redufa Lelech Lebeis Avia, she would be most of her days in her father's house, in a different city, far away from her husband. She wasn't Regila in Baila. Oh, alternatively, Shahaya La Kas in Baila. They were in a state of anger, one with the other. There was no intimate relationship. So Shahaya Baila Zakin Ochole, or if it's impossible for the husband to have consummated with a sexual relationship, O Shahaya Hi Chola, and she was so sick that she couldn't possibly be a partner in an intercourse. Oh, or alternatively, Huchsuka Kara, or we found out that she had been married to three people and she never gave birth, so she's Becheskas HaKara, a barren woman, or she's a Zekena, she's way past menopause, she cannot possibly have a child, Katana, she's too young to have a child, or she's an islandess, and she doesn't have Simoni Naris forever and ever, and she's Einaru Yalelid. So in all these cases, Oshoysa Baila Chavish Beis Asurim, her husband is locked up in jail during the months before he died, or he divorced her, or a woman is Mapeles Vlad Liachar Misas Baila, right, she had a miscarriage after her husband died. Kulon, in all these women, all these cases, if they want to get married immediately, after the Gerishin or after the Misa, is Trichim Lahamtin Shlosha Chadosh, even though for sure they were not pregnant from their first husband, nevertheless we have a Gzera, because we are afraid to confuse this with other cases, other women who are Re'uyos L'Sabrim Valeim, that's Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi is Matir Le'oreis V'Linose Miyad, in these cases where we don't even have a shadow of a doubt she's not pregnant from a previous husband, then she's allowed to get married immediately without waiting the 3 months. That's Miyad. And we're not going to have a Gzerah to Shar Noshim. We see clearly from this Braisa that Reb Meir is the one who argues against Reb Yossi in these dinim. He's the one who extends the requirement of Havchana of 3 months waiting Hamtana because of a kind of a Gzerah. And he must be the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which makes him into a Das Yochid and justifies why Reb Yochanan would paskin Halacha ki Reb Yossi. Now, the Gemara is going to clarify and prove how we know that Reb Yochanan does not hold from the very same Kloli Apsak that he himself was quoted as maintaining. Because we should ask Lomali, why does Reb Yochanan have to paskin Halacha ki Reb Yossi in his machlokas with Rabbi Meir? Va'amrit, Rabbi Yochanan himself has a klal that Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi aloch Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, we should prove from this that Rabbi Yochanan never said these klalim. This was a false news, fake news. But it was other Amoraim who said it. They formulated these klalim, but it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan. And that justifies why Rabbi Yochanan had to tell us in this Mishnah in Yevamos that Alocha is kedivrei Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara rejects this. My Kusha, what's the room for asking this question? Dilma, perhaps the reason why Rabbi Yochanan himself, even though he said these klolim, he needed to paskin here like Rabbi Yossi in his machlokas with Rabbi Meir, lafukim in Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, in order to argue against this statement in the name of Shmuel, diomar alocha ki Rabbi Meir b'gzeirosov, that whenever we find a gzeira, and Rabbi Meir's machmir and his gzeira, we always paskin halacha like Rabbi Meir's gzeira. So Rabbi Yochanan felt compelled to teach us that even though in this case of Nisuin, of Hamtana, Rabbi Meir is machmir above and beyond Rabbi Yossi in order to institute this gzeira, nevertheless we don't paskin halacha like him, but rather we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Now, the Gemara doesn't clarify whether it intends to tell us that in general Rabbi Yochanan never accepted the klal of halacha k'Rav Meir b'Gzeirosei, or only in this particular case there's some sort of an exception to the rule. Rashi's language here, v'asa Rabbi Yochanan lafuke mirishmuel miha debaha halacha k'Rav Yosi, it seems that in general Rabbi Yochanan accepted this principle of Shmuel, that halacha k'Rav Meir b'Gzeirosei, but baha halacha k'Rav Yosi. The language of Rashi is baha. In this case, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi. So once again, we're left holding the bag, so to speak, and we don't have a clear-cut proof that Rabbi Yochanan himself rejected these klolim. Ella meha desanya, from the following braisa, holchim, were allowed to go li'arid shal nachrim, in other words, on a holiday of the goyim, and they have a marketplace. That's not a religious celebration. It's a marketplace. It's just financial. So you're allowed to, a Jew is allowed to go down to the arid shal nachrim on the yom hachag shal agoyim, and lokhim, and they could buy mehem from the goyim behema, vodim, shvachos, batim, sodos, kromim, vekosev, and they could write documents to prove that they bought these items, umala, esashtoris bar choseim shalahem, and they could even, if need be, bring these documents as proof in front of the secular non-Jewish courts. And not only that, they could get the judges of these secular courts to sign these documents. And even though you might say, well, that gives an extra chashivus to the archos of goyim, to their, you know, legal system, and therefore we should be choshesh, maybe this could lead to some sort of hodah, you know, this interchange with the goyim in their courts, to a hodah on avodah zarah. Again, that seems like a long shot, but maybe there'll be modeh b'avodah zarah shalahem. But mikol makom, nevertheless, this is mutim neishu kematzil miyodam. It's similar to a case of a person who is saving his property from the hands of goyim. It's his property, and he wants to protect his interests. And if they, these judges, don't sign these documents, then it could be that the sellers will deny the sale, and the Jew has no recourse to prove that he bought it. But imhaya, if this buyer is a kohen, okay, then rashoi, he's allowed to be metame b'chutz laretz. He can go to chutz laretz, which is normally a what's called tuma savir. Chutz laretz is a kind of a tuma derabbanan, which is prohibited for a kohen. He's enjoined from that tuma, but nevertheless, for the sake of protecting his monetary interests, he's allowed to be metami tumas eretz amamin, which is again a tuma derabbanan, for the purpose of ladun la'ar imoyim al mechirizu, in order to stand in front of the judges, if need be, in order to prove his case and establish his mechira. Ukeshem sherashoy lios mitame v'tumas chutz laretz kach rashoy lios mitame v'beis hakforos. Now, what is that all about? I mean, how can a kohen go into a beis hakforos? We can't be matir that. That's tuma doraisa. So the Gemara immediately asks, beis hakforos al kedaitoch? Are you telling me that the kohen is allowed to enter into beis hakforos? Again, I'm not exactly sure what he's going to find in the Beis HaKfaros, but Tumah Doraisa, we're not going to be matir the kohen to violate a lav Doraisa because of Hefseid Mamon. So my answer is, Ella, what the Bryce has in mind is he could be Matami Tumas Beis HaPras, which is only Durabbanon. And he's allowed to go into a Sada where they once plowed a corpse that was buried in the Sada. Now it was plowed, and we don't know exactly where. There might be an Etzem Kisa'ora that could be Matami. The Rabbanan therefore made a Gzera of Tuma on the entire field. However, they were making it, but Makom Hefseid Mamon. Now the Braisa continues that a Kohen is allowed to be metame all these tumas that we mentioned before, not only for Hefseid Momen, but Lisa Isha Velumo Torah, for the sake of marrying a woman or studying Torah, he would be allowed to go to Chutz Loretz and be metame tumas Eretz Amamin. He would be allowed to enter into a Beis HaPras, if need be, for these great mitzvahs. Bizman She'eno Motze Lilmod, he doesn't have a Rebbe to teach him in a state of Tara, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Aval Motze Hu Rav Lilmod, if he could find a Rebbe to teach him without having to go to be Metame himself, is Lo Yitame. Even in these two Mr. Abundant, he's not allowed to do so. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Bizman Shemotze Rav Lilmod Vitara Nami Yitame, he could still be Metame in order to learn Torah by a different rabbi, Lefi, and here we're on Daf Mem Zayinu Mibbeis, She'emen HaKol Zocha Odom Lilmod. You know, you might say, okay, he has a local Rebbe and he doesn't have to ship himself off to Tumas Amamin, but nevertheless, when it comes to choosing a Rebbe, it's a very subjective endeavor, and there may be a Rav that could just convey the Torah, transmit the Torah to this particular Kohen, and the Rav has an uncanny ability of transmitting the Torah. Maybe the Torah is more organized. Maybe he knows how to teach, you know, a short form and a bridge form for someone who can't concentrate for long moments. And if he finds that caliber of a Rav in Chutz Lartz, then he's allowed, according to Rav Yossi, to be Mitami himself to study from him for that qualitative upgrade in his Torah study, even though he has rabbis that he can study with in Tara. V'yom Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi proves this, Mi Maisa B'Yosef HaKohen, Shaholach Eitzel Rabo L'Chutz Lartz, L'Mokom Sheshmo Tzaidon. So he went to a city called Tzaidon, which, by the way, is mentioned in a number of places, and it was part of Eretz Canaan that was given to Avraham Avinu. In any event, he went to Tzaidon Kedei Lilmod Torah, even though he could have found others who would teach him in Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara wants to clarify how we can learn from this entire story, this episode, this long and complicated braisa that Rabbi Yochanan did not accept a klal. Why? Because we omar Rabbi Yochanan says halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, that we're going to allow a Kohen, if need be, to go to Chutz Laretz for the sake of a different Rebbe that he thinks he could do better with that Rebbe. Is lomeli, what necessitated Rabbi Yochanan to paskin halachik Rabbi Yossi in a machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda v'Amrit? One of the klolim that we mentioned before is that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi halachik Rabbi Yossi. So in this case where we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about the Kohen who wants to go to Chutz Laretz because he has a Rebbe there in Chutz Laretz, even though he has a Rebbe here too in Eretz Yisrael, is we're going to certainly paskin in this machlokes like Rabbi Yossi, based on the principle of halachik Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda. So we see again that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept these klolot. It was other Amoraim that said it based on their own shitos, their own understanding. So the Gemara rejects this as well. Omar Abaye Itzrich. We need Rabbi Yochanan to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, even though in general he would paskin like Rabbi Yossi in a machlokas against Rabbi Yehuda. The Salka Daitachamina, I would have thought, Hani mi liva masnisen. The klal that we say that when there's machlokas tanoi, for example, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that's only in a machlokas that's recorded in a Mishnah. Aval b'braisa, but if the machlokas is recorded only in a braisa, emol lo, I might think that in such a case we don't follow the klolim kamashul, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan has to teach me that even in a braisa these klolim apply, and halachas k'Rabbi Yossi when he argues against Rabbi Yehuda. So now that we've rejected all these proofs that would have indicated that Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't hold from the klolim, now we have to ask the following question: why did Rav Sharshia, back on Daf Mem Vav, say that we don't hold lahalacha the klolin. I mean, it could very well be the Rabbi Yochanan, and this was a correct transmission. Rabbi Yochanan actually holds these klolin. Why would Rabbi Sharshia reject these klolin? So the Gemara now offers a slightly different understanding of the statement of Rabbi Sharshia. Lahachi komar. Here's what Rabbi Sharshia intended to say. Hani kloli lav divrei hakol ninu. These klolim are not accepted universally by everyone. To Rav lesli hani kloli. Rav, as we saw before, on Daf Memzayin Amud Aleph, doesn't accept these klolim. That's why you had to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the Machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. In the case of Echad Ani, the Echad Ashir, Ma'arvin Biraglehem. And that's all that Rabbi Masharshia really wanted to point out. Now, how do we, you know, end up over here? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan has these klolim. Rav didn't accept these klolim. So Rav now argues against Rabbi Yochanan these klolim. Nevertheless, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and accept these klolim, because we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. And that's going to apply even to a brisa. The Rashba adds that Mikol Elu Makomos Shehiksha Gemara Li El, all these questions that the Gemara raised, the Masha Posak Rav Shalok Lufia Klolim, and the Gemara answers Hecha De Itmar Itmar, and it's possible that Rabbi Yochanan would be Moda to that principle called Hecha De Itmar Itmar, because originally the Gemara thought that Rav was Moda to the Klolim, and nevertheless there are situations in which he paskins differently from the Klolim. Is therefore even Lamaskana, it would make sense to say that Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to add a machlokas between the Amoraim. In all those cases where we do have some sort of a Mesorah tradition, which is called in the language of Agamora Hechadid, the Itmar Itmar, and that tradition paskins like, so to speak, in quotation marks, the wrong Tana, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan would accept those traditions. And Rabbi Yochanan is only going to say, hey, the lo itmar, then we're going to apply these klolim. But the maskon of Asugya seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan does accept these klolim as we formulated them, and it was not a mistake to attribute these klolim to him. And those klolim apply not only in a Mishnah, but even in a Braisa. And although it does seem that Rav rejected these klolim, but nevertheless, we're going to pass him like Rabbi Yochanan and accept his kolam against Rav. So we're going to stop now here on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're up to Omer Rabbi Yehuda about 9 lines down from the top. That's already a new sugya, going back to the case of Chavtei Nochri.